The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. We have Champions League football returning this week. We also have action in the Europa League. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio to look ahead to the matches by Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you, Lee?
I'm excellent, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Champions League football is back. It's always great, isn't it?
Fantastic.
It is. We're going to look at the English teams in more depth, if you like, and then we'll also touch on some of the other games as well. But before we get to that, Lee, let's have a quick reflection on the weekend in the Premier League, particularly Sunday. The title race blown wide open by the victories of the two North London clubs, Arsenal and Spurs, beating Leicester City and Man City respectively. Only 2 points the difference between Leicester and the chasing pack now. It's all suddenly very wide open again.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, it's not the greatest Premier League of all time, but it's a really interesting one. I look at the betting with the way that the points are at the minute, and I know City are a 6 points off the top of the table, but I do think they have got the wherewithal to get back into this race. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if at some point over the next 12 games they are at the top of that table again. I think they're the value bet in the market at the minute. I think they're a big price for a team who have clawed back bigger deficits before, who've got truly world-class players, but they need company in that team, week in, week out, exerting his influence over the other players, and they need Aguero scoring at the other end. A few players who just kind of drifted out of form. I thought Yaya Toure looked a little bit better at the weekend, but he needs to rediscover his greatest form. Kevin De Bruyne needs to be playing at the top of his level as well. So you need a few things going for you, but I think if those players I've mentioned do start to click into gear, then that could be a very, very big price for the Premier League. I think Leicester may well kick on again, but I don't see them winning the league. Of all the teams of that, I'd love to see Tottenham win it. I just think the job that Pochettino's doing is great. It's a great team to watch. They're playing with a great spirit at the minute. But yeah, I mean, it literally changes every single week. Bottom of the table, we knew Villa were down anyway, but just if you needed any more confirmation, they capitulated against Liverpool. It was embarrassing at times. I see both.
Nearly all the time, it was an awful performance.
It was terrible, wasn't it? I can see both North East clubs getting out of it. I mean, I know that seems weird saying that after that Newcastle performance, but they will stay up on their home form, I think, not their away form. And I think the same could be said of Sunderland. Sunderland tend to do this, don't they? They start to get going at this time of year and beat the tough clubs, and they'll have to do that because they've got some very difficult games coming up at the Stadium of Light. But I think I'm going to say they'll both get out of it, and I'm going to go back to my original prediction, which was Villa, Norwich and Bournemouth to go down. I think Norwich will get sucked in there, and I think Bournemouth, despite reinforcing pretty well, I think their brand of football, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty end of the Premier League season, won't hold them in good stead, and I could see them getting sucked back into the relegation zone. But again, fascinating at the bottom. There's a couple of other teams who could get dragged in. Obviously Swansea not too far away at all. So yeah, it is fascinating down there. But I'm going to stick with my original prediction. I went Leicester to win the title, of course, as well at the start of the season.
of course,
I don't think they'll do it now.
Yeah, so that's the way the Premier League kind of looks after the weekend. Then let's get stuck into the midweek action, the return of the Champions League, and we'll start with Paris Saint-Germain playing host to Chelsea.
Sorry, I was just doing
in the Champions League match. PSG are 7-10, the draw 12-5, Chelsea are 9-2. These two sides have met quite recently. The last couple of seasons, they've met in the knockout stages of the Champions League, and it's more often than not come down to away goals. It's usually a tight fixture. Do you see it being that way this time around?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm fascinated to see what Chelsea do in Europe. On this podcast, I've put them up as being potential finalists when their Premier League season was looking absolutely desperate. It looks a little better now, doesn't it? Obviously, under Gus Hiddink, they're unbeaten, and they've put in some good performances. Obviously, smashed Newcastle to bits at the weekend with goals from all over the place. I don't see them being quite as gung ho going to Paris, as you say. They've got mixed emotions with Paris Saint Germain. Obviously, away goals helped them the season before last, but killed them last season. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to it again. And they must know the importance of away goals going to Paris. So I think we'll see a measured Chelsea approach, not giving too much away, looking to keep wraps on that man Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And I think they'll look for that away goal. But if they come back to Stamford Bridge with a 0-0. I don't think they'd be too upset with that. Obviously, that means that one goal for, PSG would be very damaging for them at Stamford Bridge. But I think we'll see a measured approach from Chelsea. They don't have much luck going to France. They've only won one game in the Champions League when they've been to France, losing four and drawing two of them. But obviously, you know, the draw, as you said last year, 1-1. I think they'd like that. I think that'd be a very good result for them, taking that away goal back to Stamford Bridge. It's interesting though, because, you know, PSG's home form is just sublime in Europe. One loss in 37 home games in all European competitions. That was against last year's champions, Barcelona. So no shame there. You look at the home form at the minute. They drew at the weekend. That's the first time they've dropped any points or haven't won a game at home since the 21st of October last year, when they drew 0-0 with Real Madrid at home. So you know, they're just brilliant at home. And that man's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I mean, he's just ridiculous how many goals he scores in this French division. But we were looking at the French league earlier on, weren't we? And it's purely a mismatch.
Yeah.
70 points they've got compared to Monaco in second with 46. 51 goal difference. Monaco got a plus eight. It's just, they shouldn't be allowed to play in the French division. So this is different now. And you look at, you know, look at Zlatan's stats, and, you know, he's obviously a phenomenal player. He scored a lot of goals in the group stages of the Champions League. But in the knockout stages, he's not quite as good. And it kind of, people who criticise him do say, well, is he an absolute world-class player? Can he do it at the highest level? He scored 38 in 79 in the group stages and 7 in 36 in the Champions League knockout games. One of those was against Chelsea, of course. Just putting a bit of a warning in there. If you're looking at that, Ibrahimovic to score and Paris Saint-Germain to win it 2-1. He's 21-20 to score at any time now. But he's got a better record than Diego Costa, who's got 1-14 in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Much better under Hiddink. I think he's scored 18-11 now under Hiddink's reign, after kind of being pretty off colour under Mourinho. The one goal scorer I do like, though, leaving those two aside, is Willian. He's been one of the shining lights of Chelsea's season. Of the 8 direct free kicks scored in the Champions League this season, Willian accounts for half of them. And he's 5-1 to score at any time here. In a tight game, it might be a bit of magic from a set piece that wins it. So the draw for me, straight down the middle. Chelsea to go back to Stamford Bridge and I think maybe get knocked out there. But I'll go for the draw, a 1-1. And if you want a goal scorer, Willian.
The other game on Tuesday evening is Benfica against Zenit St. Petersburg. Benfica are 23-20. The draw 11-5, and Zenit are 13-5. Tricky in the respect that Zenit are not back from their winter break yet, and that's got to have an effect here, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sometimes does, and sometimes doesn't. You look back over previous years, and actually, you know, you look back to 2012, and they actually beat Benfica in their first game back from their winter break, 3-2. But in more recent times, they've lost heavily at home to Borussia Dortmund. They're away from home this time, though. So again, that changes things slightly. You know, they're going to warmer climes in Portugal. So, you know, maybe it won't be that bad. But, you know, you've got to think that the second team in Portugal's top division, Benfica, would have too much for a team who are coming back from a winter break. Whether they're refreshed and it works in their favour, maybe. They lost, interestingly enough, I say they beat Benfica, they lost the away game 2-0 when they came back from that winter break in 2012. And I can see something similar here. I think Benfica will just have a little bit too much for them, but I think there'll be more goals than that this time. I think the one thing that's difficult to create is... In friendlies, that is the concentration levels and the stamina levels that you need to compete in a 90-minute Champions League match. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if Zenit get on the score sheet, but I think that Benfica will beat them. So I like the Benfica to win and over 2.5 goals. I think that's a decent bet. I actually think Zenit might get something at home, though. I think it'll be a really interesting tie. You know, when Zenit go back there, you'd rather be a player who plays his trade in Russia going to Portugal to play than a player who plies his trade in Portugal going to Russia to play at this time of year, I would suggest. So, Benfica to win this one. Benfica to win and both teams to score is 15-4. I think I'll go for that rather than the over 2.5. I think that's more likely than the over 2.5. I like that. Benfica to win, over 2.5 goals. Something like a 2-1 keeps a tie alive, and Zenit have got something to play for in the return leg.
Sorry, with Benfica there. Then on to Wednesday evening's games. Two more matches in the Champions League. Ghent take on Wolfsburg. Ghent are 9-5, 23-10 for the draw. And Wolfsburg are 6-4 in that match. We also have Roma against Real Madrid. Roma are 100-30, 5-2 for the draw, and 5-6 for Real in Italy. Two interesting games. Lee, what would be your thoughts, overriding thoughts for Wednesday evening?
Yeah, well, Ghent, Wolfsburg, two teams who've never got to this stage before. So one of them's got a great opportunity to get even further ahead. Ghent are second in the Belgian league at the minute. Score a lot of goals at home. Second highest scorers in the Belgian Pro League with 31 goals at home. Only lost once this season in the domestic division. That's from 13 games, conceding 12. Wolfsburg not having such a great season. Not terrible, but they're eighth at the moment. You look at their away form domestically, and they don't score many at all away from home. Only 6 goals they've scored away from home in the Bundesliga in 10 games. 1 win, 6 losses and 3 draws, and they've conceded 19. So these are two very different teams. In the Champions League, you look at Wolfsburg, they won 2-0 away at CSKA, lost 2-0 to PSV. They had the game against Man United, which they lost at Old Trafford, so not particularly great. But I'm just going to go on a goals thing here, because I think Ghent do score goals at home consistently. Very rare they don't score. So I like the I just like the over 2.5 here. I'm not quite sure on the outrights. The bookies have got, obviously, Wolfsburg 6-4, 9-5 Ghent, and 23-10 the draw. And I'm undecided, but I like the over 2.5 because I think both teams will go for it. I think both teams will realise that they've got a really good opportunity to progress to the next stage here. Over 2.5 even money. I'm going to put a little double up for Wednesday, Mark, and that's the first half of it.
So that's the first half of it. Then the second half must come in the Roma-Real Madrid match.
No, it does. Yes, it does, yeah. Well deduced.
Yes.
Look, I don't see how Roma beat Real Madrid. Real Madrid 5-6. I think that'll be going in a lot of people's ackers. Roma haven't got a fantastic record in the Champions League. In fact, they've only won 2 games in the Champions League in 15, which begs the question, how the hell are they in the knockout stages? Yeah. And one of those, only one this time as well, which is amazing, really. They don't keep many clean sheets either. They're pretty poor in that respect. In fact, they've only kept 1 clean sheet in the last 20 Champions League games. So 1 clean sheet in 20, have won 2 in 15. You know, I think Real Madrid should be able to go to Rome and wrap this up. You know, they're still unbeaten this year in the Champions League. Obviously, a fantastic team. Top scorers in this season's group stages with Bayern Munich hitting 19 goals, scored 12 in the last 2. And Cristiano Ronaldo plays from, if you know that, 73 goals in 69 Champions League matches for Real Madrid. And he scored his first ever goal in this competition against
Roma.
Yes. So if you like a mug bet, why not go for the mug bet with Cristiano Ronaldo? 2-1 for him to score in a Real Madrid win.
Is he an up and coming fella then? Is he?
Yeah, he's Portuguese. Right. He played for Man United once upon a time, if you remember him. He's decent. Yeah, I think he's got a future in the game. I think a lot of people will be on that 2-1. I really do.
It does look tempting, yeah. Doesn't it?
I'm not going to back that though. I'm going to go for. I think Roma will score here. I think Real Madrid will win the game. I think it could be something like a 3-1. But Roma, you know, Roma do score goals at home. You know, you look at the Serie A, the fourth in Serie A. It's very rare that they kept to a clean sheet these days. They had a little run when they drew 0-0 with Bate, which is their only clean sheet for absolutely ages, that one that I mentioned. But before that, they were scoring loads of goals at home. So I could see both teams scoring. At Real Madrid, both teams to score is 23-20 in this one.
23-10.
What did I say?
23-20. Oh, you've done yourself.
I can't believe it. 23-10. And even money, the double, pays just over 11-2.
Nice. If you think Roma will score, then I'm entirely in your camp, because you mentioned Roma don't have a particularly watertight defence, and Real Madrid haven't ever failed to score on a trip to Italy in the Champions League.
That's an amazing stat, isn't it? And Real Madrid, look at Real Madrid's away form at the minute as well. It's not like they're watertight. I mean, they're conceding in most games they play in away from home. So I think the last time they kept a clean sheet was away from home was the end of November, when they went to Eibar and won 2-0. And you know, before that it was PSG, when they went to PSG in October. Before that, the last clean sheet was Espanyol in the start of September. So they're conceding quite a few goals away from home, Real Madrid. So, yeah, I like that a lot. I like the double.
Let's move on to the Europa League games then, taking place on Thursday evening. Three English sides in action. We'll start with the early kickoff, which is Fiorentina against Tottenham Hotspur. 7-5 for Fiorentina, 21-10 for the draw, 21-10 for Spurs. Spurs doing very well in the league. They're up to second. They've won their last seven games. After the result of the weekend, when people asking Pochettino about whether they were going to go for the title or whether they could start dreaming about the title, his response was, "We've got Fiorentina in the Europa League this week." So he's sounds like he's taking it seriously.
Boring. Yeah, I think he is. Interesting game this, you know, against Fiorentina, who are third in Serie A. They're a full 7 points behind Napoli at the moment, two ahead of Roma. So obviously plenty to play for. They're in that Champions League qualifier spot at the moment in Serie A. Domestically, they've scored 27 home goals, which is a top in the division, joint with Napoli. Only conceded 10 as well, so they've, you know, they've got some goals in them. We know Tottenham, like you say, in great form at the minute. Just, you know, that win at Man City, I was so impressed by their application once it went back to 1-1. You know, a team without as much confidence might have just settled for the draw, but not Tottenham. They went for it. And I think, you know, they're obviously a very good team. I like the fact that, as you said, that Pochettino's singled this game out as being, you know, that it is important. They've got this, then they've got a cup game, haven't they? And they've got the return leg. So I guess you can almost put them into a little pocket and say, right, we're going to play really well in these three games. I'm going to rotate for the cup game maybe, and we're going to, you know, try and keep this run going. Because you should do that, I think.
Yeah.
Their away record in the Premier League, they've won 7, drawn 5, scored 24 goals and conceded 11. So that's the joint best away defence in the Premier League. And it was kind of like, you know, the weekend, the Man City game was the best home attacking team against the best away defence, and they came out on top. The defence won out in the end. And I could kind of see something similar here. I just don't know if they'll go for it. Having said all that about Pochettino, I don't know if he'll go quite as strong as they did for the City game. I don't know if he'll be able to get them quite as up for that. So I'm going to play a little bit safe here. I'm just going to go for the draw. I think both teams will score. The draw on both teams to score is 16-5 compared to 21-10 for just the draw. I think if it gets to the stage where we're kind of 65, 70 minutes in, and it is a draw, I think Tottenham will be happy with that. Both teams to score on its own is 10-11.
Yeah,
I could take that. So I think Tottenham will be more than happy to go back to White Hart Lane with a draw next Thursday.
Okay, Midtjylland take on Manchester United. Also an early kickoff. This one is at 6 o'clock as well. Manchester United beaten at the weekend by Sunderland. After that, Louis van Gaal was saying how he doesn't expect them to reach the top four anymore, which is a bizarre thing to say as Manchester United manager when you're under pressure as well, and Mourinho's apparently going to take over. So the pressure's kind of on them to perform in at least one competition. They're still in the FA Cup as well. Are they going to start treating the cups more emphasis with the league probably getting away from them?
Yeah, I think so. I think this will give them a new lease of life, if you like. Go away, you know, do well in the Europa League. It's a good opportunity going to Midtjylland. You know, not a poor team, third in their Superliga, but they haven't played a competitive match since drawing 1-1 with Club Brugge in the Europa League in early December. Interesting enough, Manchester United beat Club Brugge 4-0 away from home. So a little bit of collateral form there, admittedly at different stages of the season. But I think, you know, Man United away from home, I've been watching them closely, and, you know, they do score early goals. They tend to score first half goals. Did it against Sunderland, did it against Derby, did it against Newcastle. In fact, scored two first half goals against Newcastle. Scored in the first half against Bournemouth, scored after 10 minutes against Wolfsburg in that 3-2 defeat, and you can keep going back through all the away games through the season and see examples of this. Scored after 41 minutes against PSV, and scored, you know, after 20 through Rooney in that Club Brugge match. So I expect Man United to get after Midtjylland here. This is a team, like I say, who will be a bit rusty. They have been playing friendlies, but they don't resume their Super League till the end of February. So, you know, I think this is one where they should be looking at getting after Midtjylland straight off the bat. One bit I do like, and it, regular listeners to the punt will chortle now a little bit, because I always go for this Man United over 1.5 first half goals. That might be a bit ambitious. It's a big price. It's priced up at 9-2 for Manchester United to score two first half goals at Midtjylland. This is the idea that they can catch them cold a little bit. 4-5 for a goal in the first half for Man United. I like that. I think they'll win. I think Midtjylland could score, Man United to win and both teams to score is 16-5. I like that. We were talking before as well, weren't we, about Martial. 9-5 to score at any time. I think you made the comparison to, you know, our Michelin, that much different to Derby County, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, what the level of their division, similar to the Championship maybe. They're rusty, you know, or they might be fresh, but, you know, they haven't played, you know, competitive football for a while. And Martial looked great against Derby, didn't he? And he's scoring for fun. He scores goals anyway. So 9-5 any time is a nice pick.
Yeah, he looked great against Derby. He's playing with a lot of freedom down that left-hand side, and yeah, his movement is superb. And yeah, I pose the question, Aaron Mitchell's side as good as a top half of the, well, top six in the Championship side? I'm not sure they're much better. So no,
it's difficult to say, isn't it? But I'd agree with you.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with Martial, by the way. I think he's a superb acquisition for them. I think he's going to turn into a very, very good player.
Yeah, I think so as well. He looks like a player who'll just develop into being truly world class, doesn't he? Just looks like a young Thierry Henry, which ain't bad.
No.
I'd take that, I reckon. So Manchester United win. I think that Martial shout's a good one. And I'm going to go for the over 0.5 first half Man United goals at 4-5. I'm tempted by the over 1.5, 9-2.
You're getting 4-5 though, about in there, and the 7-10 to win the match. I'd say just to score in the first half is far.
Yeah, I just don't like backing my United odds on.
that's
the problem with it. But you're right. I agree. That's why when I saw it, I was quite surprised. I think I'll have 80% of my stake on that 4-5 shot, the over 0.5, and I'll have a little tickle on the 9-2 as well.
On to the third and final game that we're going to look at in the Europa League. Augsburg play host to Liverpool. Augsburg are 23-10. The draw 23-10 as well. Liverpool are 6-5. Liverpool, with a rampant win over Aston Villa at the weekend, they won 6-0. But the significant thing to take out of that is that Sturridge started, mm-hmm. he scored, and Coutinho also started. And the link-up between those two, Liverpool, with those two players in their side, are a far better side. And can this Augsburg side live with them if that kind of Liverpool turns up?
No, I don't think so. I think they're in an entirely different team when Sturridge plays and when Coutinho plays. In fact, it's shocking how different they are when they play.
It's
weird. It's like, you know, suddenly they go, oh yeah, you're going to run behind. I'll play balls in down the channel and all around here. It's like, well, why can't... I know Benteke is not that kind of player, but he transforms that side. It's amazing, really. This is probably the game of the midweek where team news is so crucial, you know, because, you know, we don't quite know what Klopp's doing in terms of team news. What's he trying to balance out? They haven't got an FA Cup match to worry about, so they have got a blank week.
Yep.
So really you'd think he should play, whether it's 60 minutes or not.
I would play him, yeah.
Yeah, I would. The worry is that you often hear about this kind of thing about travelling can sometimes, you know, make players, you know, not pick up injuries, but give them a bit of a, you know, I don't know, make them a bit stiffer or whatever, I don't know. But, you know, I hope he plays. If he does play, I think the enhanced offer is well worth taking. Because he is a player who, when he plays, he tends to score. He's got a brilliant record for Liverpool, just doesn't play enough. Sturridge to score, Liverpool to win, 7-2. I like that. Augsburg are a team who are hovering above the relegation zone in the Bundesliga, a point above it in 14th. They don't score goals at home in the Bundesliga. 10 have scored so far, which isn't clever, in 11 games. So less than one a game so far, conceded 16 goals. This is a division, let's not forget, that, you know, most of the teams, I think 13 of the teams in this division average over 2.5 goals a game. So it's not a low-scoring division by any stretch of the imagination, but they are quite a low-scoring home team. I think Liverpool can get the better of them. The 6-5 might well be good enough for a lot of people, and I'd happily back Liverpool, I think, at 6-5 if the team is right, you know. And I want to know that he puts out a strong team. If Coutinho and Sturridge are playing, I think the 6-5 is a great price.
I would agree. It's 6-5 about a confident Liverpool side that are much more expansive against an Augsburg side who haven't won since they returned from their winter break. They've not returned in good nick.
Not at all. Lost 3-1 to Bayern Munich, didn't they, at the weekend, which is no great, you know. You'd take that, I think.
Yeah,
But yeah, they're not in confident mood, are they, going into this?
No. Just a little stat about Sturridge as well. You mentioned how the Liverpool shape changes and the way they play changes and they have more runs in behind. It opens them up as a team. In the last two games that Sturridge has scored in, Liverpool have scored 6 goals.
Interesting. And in the other game that he scored in, when they beat Villa 3-2. There were five goals in that match,
so it just changes the entire pattern of the game, doesn't
it? Yeah, that is really interesting, isn't it? So maybe you could look at goals in that one. It's just like, it's so hard to call Liverpool right, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know. I mean, people were putting up Villa to win.
Yeah.
At the weekend. You know, and I know it looks a stupid bet now, but I think people were thinking, yeah, this Liverpool team, they're not at it. Suddenly, they're like, they absolutely pulverise Villa. Really interesting. We shall see.
Mm. So plenty of bets in there, Lee. If I were to ask you for a best bet for the week, what would you go with?
I really like the over 2.5 goals in Ghent-Wolfsburg at even money. I'm going to go for that one. they concede goals for fun, Wolfsburg. Ghent score them. Wolfsburg like a goal or two as well. We saw them against Man United in that 3-2 match in the Europa League. In the Champions League early in the season. I'll go for that one. I think it's a decent price.
All right, good stuff. Thank you very much, Lee. Good luck and enjoy the midweek football.
Cheers, Matt.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.